Amen and amen. Thank you all. Thank you. Till the storm passes by. When you pass through, whatever you pass through, because you're going to pass through. That's the promise of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
When you pass, this shall pass too, the Scriptures teach us. And look at that. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. He says that. To His own, to His people. Isaiah 43, the Scripture says, beginning in verse number 1, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Now, seeing that we're His, that I am His, He is responsible for me. As a shepherd is responsible for his sheep, I am the Lord's. And God is responsible. And He takes that responsibility and accountability just like I would take the accountability and responsibility for my wife or for my children in the same manner. You are mine by creation, by God's design, and through His redeeming grace. He says, when you pass through, verse 2, not if you pass through, not that you might pass through, but when you pass through the waters, what does God promise? I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you pass through or walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. It's not if, it's not that you might, it's the when you pass through.
Amen.
But always remember, you're passing through.
Yeah.
Amen?
Come on.
You're passing through. You're passing through. So no matter how difficult the waters or the floods or the fires may be, you and I that have been created, that have been squeezed and transformed, because we've been redeemed through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what it is in this life, we are passing through it. Amen.
Amen.
We're passing through. And I am His, and He is mine. I know His voice, and He is responsible for me. So, when you pass through, like the little boy, Colin, when you pass through, as a believer, when you pass through the news of cancer, when you pass through the sickness, when you pass through the troubles, when you pass through loss, when you pass through whatever it is, you're passing through it. Nothing's a waste. Nothing's a loss. Why? Because our God makes it personal. Amen? He makes it personal, and we are just passing through. I think the old saying would be, this shall pass too. Why shall this pass? Because we're what? We're passing through. We're passing through. You know, Abraham got his name that way. That's what people started calling Abraham, a Hebrew. Abraham hadn't always been a Hebrew. Hebrews hadn't always existed. Abraham come from the land of Ur. He was a Gentile just like us. He come from a land that was without God, but God called him, God redeemed him, God transformed him, God squeezed him out, and as a result, everywhere he went and all that he did and all that he said and how he lived his life, people started looking at him and they said, that man's a Hebrew. Why'd they say that man's a Hebrew? Because everywhere he went, he was what? he was passing through. He was passing through. Go look at Hebrews. Let's see how this translate over. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. We want to remember it's not if, it's not might, but what? When. 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 Because in the kingdom of God, we got to remember, God uses the difficulty things in our life, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations. Remember, James says, when you enter into trouble, what do? Count it all. Why? What? You are what? Oh, you're passing through. But you're not just passing through. You're passing through with somebody. That somebody's doing something with you. That's why he says, let perseverance have its complete or perfect work. God's going to use the trial to do something in you while you're passing through. But Hebrews chapter 11 says this, beginning, if you would, in verse number 8. Let's just go to Abraham. By faith, or we can say, being persuaded, being convinced, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he had received as an inheritance. And he went out, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So when he went out not knowing where he was going, he was what? Passing through. By faith, or that is convinced or persuaded, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same exact promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, or being persuaded, Sarah herself, she also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because Sarah judged God faithful who had made a promise to her. Therefore, from one man, and that man, Abraham, was good as dead, being 100 years old, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. And you couldn't put a number on it, as you cannot number the sand which is along the seashore. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Abraham was what? Passing through. Now watch what the next verse says. Verse 13. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Noah, all these, they died in faith, being persuaded, though they had not received the promises, but having seen that promise, what God had made a promise on, they seen them afar off, they were assured of them, and they embraced and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If being a pilgrim on this earth meant that while they were on this earth, everything they went through, Keith, they were what? Passing through. Verse 14. And you see, not just them, but this applies over to me and you now. For those, or all those who like them say such things, declare plainly that they too seek a homeland. That is, we're what? Passing through. That's how Abraham got his name. The old Hebrew. The man that was passing through. The man who lived in tents everywhere he went. Why did he live in tents? Because he didn't lock down and put his house anywhere in particular. Why did he not put his house in one particular place? Because the man was what? He's passing through. Where was he headed? Well, he didn't know every place he was headed, but he knew he was headed to one place, and that was a city whose builder and maker is. He just knew he would have to pass through some places on his way to that place. And he never got to the place where he just built what he had and locked down and settled on. He was always on the go. The only time Abraham got settled down in an area was when he found himself in sin. Because he found himself in sin twice. in the sense that when he went down to Egypt and he went down to the Philistines, in both situations he let fear manipulate him and govern his actions, because he said that if the men of the city thought that Sarah was his wife, what would they do to him? He said, they'll kill me to take you. So, Abraham told Sarah, won't you act like you're my sister? Well, technically, Sarah was his sister, but she was his wife. So, Sarah agreed that she would play the role of a sister and Abraham would play the role of an older brother or the Lord over her life, for whom all these other men had to go through. So, Abraham then acts out of character, and he receives gifts from people for whom he already said he wouldn't receive gifts from. Why? He had to play in the character that he had already established when he was operating out of the person that God had made him into be. What did God say to Abraham? God made a promise to Abraham. That Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. Abraham, you are the single most blessed man on the planet. My presence and my favor is upon your life. You have nothing in this world to fear. Nothing. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your every need. I'm going to bless you. Emmy Lou. I'm going to take care of you. But he took matters in his own hands. Amen. He did. He took matters in his own hands. And when he did, he started manipulating the circumstances. And he started falsifying things to protect himself and his interests, and therefore he's no longer being identified as the man who's blessed by God. He's operating rogue in this, and only in those two situations did we find Abraham doing something that was not characteristic of his life. One is that he didn't build any altars when he was down there. Everywhere Abraham went, the first thing he did when he went to a place was build an altar. And he pitched his tent near the altar. When he would pick up his tent and he would move on, he'd go build another altar and pitch his tent. Build another altar and pitch his tent. But when he was found himself acting out of character, what did he do? Nothing is said about pitching a tent and nothing is said about building an altar. Things got out of order in his life. Things ever get out of order in your life? Amen. And you forget you what? Passing through. And when you forget you're passing through, all of a sudden things around you start pushing you. Things around you start manipulating you. And then you start taking matters in your own hands, doing things your own way. And when you start doing that, things just start to fall apart around you. But fortunately, Abraham had a wife who submitted to him, but a wife who interceded for him. And when he was making some of his stupid mistakes, because what he did was stupid, wasn't right. His wife, on the other hand, interceded. And you know what God did? God protected Sarah and protected Abraham in his foolishness. That's what he did. That's what Peter highlights. Of that she did what he asked her to do, but she did it without fear and trusted God on the matter. And God protected both of them. Why? Sarah didn't lose sight that she was what? She was what? So Abraham's actions didn't deter her. She knew she was still what? She was passing through. So when you know you're passing through something, you make sound choices that bring glory to God and bless those around you. But when you get your eyes off that you're not passing through, you start making foolish choices, and then you become a hindrance to those that are around you. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Makes all the difference in the world when you know where you're headed. And when you know where you're headed and who you're headed with and who you belong to, that when you go through the waters and you go through the flood and you go through the fire, you go through the bad news, you go through the loss, you go through the hardship, you go through the tribulation, you go through the difficult days, because you know that I am His. And He is mine. And this shall pass too, because I'm just passing through this. going somewhere of great value. Amen. Look back and stay in Hebrews for a moment and look in chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35, Paul says, therefore, we're not going to go back and look at all the details of all of what he said, building up to this whole point of the book of Hebrews from chapter 1 up to chapter 10 of what he's teaching them in this covenant that we have in Jesus, that we stand in this grace in who we are in Him, that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we even more so come together to stir one another on to good works and love. And then in chapter number 10, verse 26 up to this point, he's telling them, reminding them, say, hey, brethren, you know that how God dealt with people in Moses' day when they rejected Moses' law. How much more is it going to be worse for those that reject Jesus? Jesus is a lot greater than Moses. And he says in verse 35, he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. There's great reward in being faithful when you're passing through. Verse 36, for you have need, brethren, you have need of what? Endurance, patience, or perseverance. You have need of perseverance. Well, how does God build perseverance in us? Say it again. Trouble. You have need of patience. Which Romans chapter 5 teaches that patience works. I mean, tribulation works what? Patience. And patience works character. And character works a hope that doesn't disappoint. The means by which God builds enduring, persevering patience is us through the means of trials, through the means of trouble. And what he's telling them there who are going through it says you need patience. You need perseverance. And that only comes through tribulation. That only comes through trouble. And he goes on to say, verse 36, for you have a need of endurance so that after you have done all the will of God, you may receive the what? The promise. After you have done the will of God. You see, it takes, Brother Shannon, it takes endurance and perseverance to do the will of God. To be in the will of God. To be part of the will of God. And he says, but we have confidence. Notice what he goes on to there in verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. That's a great hope we have. That's where this patience is going to be built in knowing we're passing through. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then the writer says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe unto the what? Total redemption or the saving of the soul. So this idea of perseverance is that my eyes are fixed in on Jesus and I'm trusting His wisdom and I'm pressing on and I'm passing through because I know whatever I'm going through right now is going to pass as well. And somebody's at work in me. Amen. And I don't rejoice because of the trouble I am in. I rejoice because of the result of what's going to come out of the trouble that I'm going through. Because I'm passing through this. His presence is passing through it with me. I am His and He's shaping and molding and making me. I'm not drawing back to a way that I used to live and think. No, I'm going to keep pressing on. Because God's shaping and molding me that when I go through the floods and I go through the rivers and I go through the fire, I'm just passing through them. Amen. And He's at work in me. Amen? Amen. Now, this is good news. This will bless a man, a woman, boy, or girl that will see how this happens. As James reminds us, hey, look, count it all joy when you're going through these things. God's at work. Amen. You know what God's doing in it? This pressure He puts on you when you're passing through, He's drawing you close to Him. If you don't know how to walk through this and you don't have the answer, what do? You go to God. What's God going to do? He's going to give you wisdom for the trouble. He's going to give you solutions for the trouble you're in. Amen. And the whole time, what is He doing? He's shaping a character that looks more and more like Him. as you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
Look back in Isaiah. Isaiah. The problem that we find, say like with Esau, the natural man. If we kept reading in Hebrews, we went into chapter 12. Chapter 12 is going to remind us, I see you. I see you. Hebrews chapter, I see you smiling. Hebrews chapter 12 is going to remind us, as Isaiah has already said. We read this when we was in Isaiah. Remember when Isaiah said in chapter 35, to strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees? The writer of Hebrews, which I believe is the Apostle Paul, also says the same thing in chapter 12, that it's we as the brethren ought to strengthen one another and reinforce one another with the truth. And he says, so that we don't have anybody that falls short of the grace of God, or we don't have any fornicator or base person like Esau, who sold his birthright for what? A morsel of soup. For some soup. For some stew. Some red stew. And it says that he missed the blessing. How did Esau miss the blessing? What happened? Esau, being the firstborn, was supposed to receive the firstborn, quote unquote, supposed to receive the blessing of the firstborn. That blessing that was on Abraham was to be on Esau, that he thought. Remember, Isaac was getting old. He couldn't see. He was about to die, and he told Esau to go kill something and make him some meat, some stew, for he loved Esau. But Jacob's mama loved him. They had this thing going on. One loved one more than the other, and vice versa. So Esau goes out. He kills something. He comes back. But in the meantime, Jacob's mama, these both boys are about 70 years old while this is happening. His mama tells him that, look, you need to disguise yourself. I'm going to make a stew the kind that your daddy likes. And he said, well, if I go in there, he's going to know that I am not Esau. Esau's a hairy man. That's what Esau means, hairy. He's a hairy guy. I'm a smooth-skinned guy. So they took some hides and put on him, and he went in there. And he disguised himself as his brother, and Jacob, Isaac, ate the stew, laid his hands on Jacob, and prayed that firstborn blessing, or the blessing of Abraham, upon him. And then he goes out, no sooner than he leaves, Esau comes in. And when Esau comes in and says, here's your stew I got for you, Daddy, he says, who are you? I done ate the stew. I done gave the blessing. And Esau cried out and he wailed and he said, God, Daddy, you got to have a blessing for me. Can you bless me? Well, his dad blessed him, but it wasn't a blessing of the firstborn. It wasn't Abraham's blessing. That's the blessing that he wanted. The scripture says that Esau sought that blessing with tears. But he never found room in his heart for repentance. You know, what Esau is a representation of is natural man, just man without the promises of God. And you know what he was crying for? He was crying for what he thought he had a right to. He didn't want to be right with God. He just wanted what he thought was rightfully his.
Come on.
We can recognize when we're operating in the flesh or a natural man, when we demand our rights, but our heart is not really wanting to be right with God, so we never find room for repentance. All we want is what we think is rightfully ours. That's what Esau is a representation of. Esau sought what he thought was right for him. He even sought it with tears. He sought it diligently because it was his rights per se. But he never wanted to be right with God.
Amen.
That wasn't his heartbeat. Just what was right, what he thought would be right, or his rights. We live in a culture like that today, right?
Amen.
Everybody demands their
rights.
Their rights. Why? That's what humanistic, natural men do. They demand their rights. And they will fight you in the courts for their rights. They will cut you for what they think is their rights. They'll put a gun to your head, what they think is their rights. They'll steal from you because they think they have the right to do it. They'll get punished for it. They don't think they have the right to be punished for it. They'll cry about it. All those things. but never not necessarily have a heart to be righteous or right with God. And that's how we all can recognize if I'm either being led and walking in God's Spirit, passing through things, or I feel like this should not be going on in my life right now. I shouldn't have to suffer this right now. This is not... I have rights, and I shouldn't have to suffer this away because of... This is not right for me to have to suffer this. Are you with me?
Come on.
We can get to that place and fail to see that coming into Jesus, you know what happens to us? We, when we come into Christ, and we come into Christ as a dead man, because that's what happens. We died with Him at the cross, we buried with Him, and we've been resurrected to new life. You know what happens in that? We lose all our rights. Our identity gets lost in Him.
Amen.
So when I bring up my rights before God for God's blessing, which I think I'll have the right to, but I don't desire to be righteous and right with Him, I'm acting just like Esau. I'm not operating in the grace or the promises of God. I'm operating in my flesh. So these things help us. I don't want to be led by my flesh. Amen. Do y'all?
No.
Have you been?
Yeah.
We do. So this is what we see going on right now, even as we read in Isaiah, which I'm just going to highlight this, and we'll come back tonight and talk more about it. Look in chapter 48. Notice how God words this in chapter 48. Verse 1, "Hear this, O house of Jacob, and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah." So we know who He's talking about. He's talking about Judah themselves. Israel has already been taken away, the northern 10 tribes, talking about the southern 2. Who swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but they do it not in truth or in righteousness. That's where you want to highlight that little phrase in there. That's very important. They swear and make mention, but what they swear and make mention is not in truth, nor is it in righteousness. Basically saying that it's not the standard by which they live by, nor is it God's way. The word truth there means to be a certainty, a standard. God has a standard, a certainty that He goes by. It speaks of that their mentioning and swearing didn't line up with God's truth, nor did it line up with God's ways. You see, to be in God's way, you got to be in God's truth. It also has the idea that what they said that they sweared by and the name that they mentioned, their lifestyle and what they claimed and how they lived didn't match.
Amen.
For an example, people like today. You ever heard somebody say, "Man, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church"?
Yeah.
You know, that's impossible.
Come on.
That's impossible. You can't like and love Jesus and dislike and despise Jesus' bride.
Come on.
It don't work that way.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. That's why you've heard me in the past. Most everybody will tell you that they love Jesus, especially in our areas, you know, where we live. And I don't necessarily attempt to focus on that issue of saying, "Do you love Jesus?" I try to get down to you. Do you really like Jesus? Because a lot of people tell you they love Him, but there's no evidence that they love Him. And that being said, there's no evidence that they like Him. Because if you don't like Him, or let me rephrase it like this. If you like Him, I like to hang out with people that I like. I like to listen to music that I like. I like Stephanie a lot. I come home every day. Some days don't leave. Because I like this girl. I like her. I love her. And the more I love her, the more I like her. And the more I like her, the more I love her. It's just the way that it goes, right?
Amen.
There's certain things you like. And whatever you like, you position yourself to either hear it, see it, buy it, or be around it. Are you with me?
Come on.
Now, you might not be able to afford everything you like. Some of y'all got some pretty high taste, or you know what I mean? You can't afford it. She thought that was funny, huh? You can't afford everything you like. We understand that. But that which is within your means, if you like it, you're going to be involved in it. If you like your kids, you're involved in your kids' life, right? If you like your grandchildren, and you can, you're going to be involved in their life. If you like people, you're going to be involved in those people's lives as much as you possibly can. Now, we can't be involved in everybody's life that we like, but I want to tell you, you can't tell me you like Jesus and not involved in the life of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you with me? Y'all follow with me. And if you like Jesus, even a tad bit, you're also going to love Jesus. It's impossible to like Him and not love Him, and it's impossible to love Him and not like Him.
Amen.
And there's no way to like Him and love Him and not like His bride.
Amen. Come on.
Just can't. I wouldn't hang out with too many people if every time we got around them, they would want to spit in Stephanie's face and mock her. Because they didn't like her. Not because she stood for Jesus. I'm just saying they didn't like her as a person. And I had a so-called friend that liked me but didn't like her and scorned her, ragged her, spit on her, did all those things. I'd have one less friend. Are you with me? Just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. Well, you think about that with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Jesus shed His blood for His bride.
Yeah.
Jesus cleansing and washing His bride right now. Amen?
Amen?
You see, those that make mention of Jesus' name, who swear in His name, but not in truth and not in righteousness, claim they like Him, claim they love Him, but the evidence of that is they do not love His bride.
Amen.
Do not love His people. Scripture is pretty clear that when God does a work in our hearts, one of the clear indicators of the evidence of that work in us is love for the brethren. If there's no love for the brethren, there's no work of Jesus.
Come on.
Y'all remember that.
Yeah.
Just remember that, because now what you're dealing with is somebody making a false claim, but you're dealing with somebody who still needs Jesus.
Yeah.
And we don't take them at their word. Even though they can say His name, even though they can mention dynamics about Him, even though they'll tell you, oh, I love Jesus. They're no different than what was going on in Isaiah's day.
Yeah.
They swear, they mention the name, but it's not an authenticity. It's not based on a standard. There's no steadfastness in it, and it's not done God's way. There's no righteousness in it. It's not in faith. Which faith builds, faith encourages, faith transfers life, God's life in us.
Yeah.
The commander of the Lord's host, that's the commander of the armies of the Lord, doesn't govern in God their day, their life,
yeah.
What it boils down to. They're just not part of God's army yet. Are you with me?
Amen.
They can be. Jesus laid His life down to rescue them. You just got to recognize they ain't in the family yet. And just don't take that claim as being authentic. Just start praying and ask God to do a work of His grace in them, like He did with you, amen? Like He did with you. And God will use that in a mighty, mighty way. Just part of what? Passing through. Just part of passing through. Passing through. We're just passing through. Brandon, we're passing through. Y'all say that with me. I am. Passing through. No matter how ugly, hard, or difficult it might be, I'm passing through. Passing through. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we ask You today to help us. I know we all need that, as You have told us. You started out this series in from beginning in chapter 40 to where we are right now, what we read about today. That word You gave to Isaiah, You sent it out and said, go comfort My people. And to know that we are Yours, that not only did You make us, but You redeemed us. You are transforming us. We are Yours. You are responsible for us as Yours. And that no matter where we are, no matter what we go through, We're all passing through. That's a comforting word. And we want to rejoice before you today and thank you for the revelation. Amen. Man, where he leads, I will follow. Now, sometimes we all admit some seasons of passing through seem much longer than other seasons. Some days are harder than other days. Some challenges are much harder than other challenges. But we could all confidently say we're passing through. And we want to confess that. We want our life to declare that plainly. To declare it plainly. To be a persuasive declaration. We're just passing through. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, we want to take as many people as we can while we pass through. It's important. Anybody else have anything before we go today? Well, amen. Look, we'll gather back tonight at what time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Sounds good. Love y'all. Y'all have a great day. Stay as cool as you can. It's mighty hot out there. It's going to be another steamer. And y'all just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for today. We ask that you help us with these things. We're just borrowing bread from you, giving it, putting it in your hands, that you can bless it and multiply it and distribute it to your people. Thank you for putting it in our hands to go hand it back out. We just want to give it to you and ask you to use it for your glory, and we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.